You'll turn to Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Beautiful passage, Isaiah chapter 55. But this prophecy does raise a question. Is there a time when he may not be found? Is there a time upon when he's not near? Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Is there a time when he's not near? How many of you know those very last verses, the very last words of Matthew chapter, the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 28? What is the very last verse in Matthew's gospel?
Well, I shall be with you even.
Say again?
Though I shall be with you even to the end of the age.
There you go! Very good, Suzanne! All right. Yes, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Yes. I'm with you always. So, why do we have to seek him? Okay. Well, as St. John said in his epistle, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us. Did you hear that? We abide in him and he in us. Because he has given us his own spirit. All right, he's in us. And St. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That sounds pretty near. The life that I'm living in Christ, and Christ is living in me. And yet the prophecy says, seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. Yet there are times when God does seem pretty far away. When times are difficult, all too often I hear, where was God when? Dot, dot, dot. There are times when I'll be sitting in my gazebo or on my couch or something and going, God, please just speak to me. I can't hear what you're saying. He seems so far away. When I was working on this, I was reminded of a cartoon that I saw many, 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 many years back when they used to deliver a newspaper to my house, you know, things like, and back when there were bench seats in the front seat of a car. You remember that? Any of you? Okay, yeah. Well, this one, this cartoon, you're looking at the front end of a car, and there's a man behind the wheel, and there's a woman sitting in the passenger seat next to the window, and she says to her husband, do you remember a long time ago when I used to snuggle up next to you and you put your arm around me while we were driving? And he looks at her and says, I haven't moved. So, when you're feeling far away from God, who moved? Now, there are a lot of other issues that could go around this particular topic. We heard many years ago prophetically when revival seemed to be spreading across the land about how the veil was thin and we were near to heaven and all that. That's wonderful. And there are times, scripture even gives you examples, but there are times when the Lord draws back to increase your longing, your hunger for him. And one of the best examples of that is Mother Teresa. And if you have never read it, I strongly encourage you to read her private writings. The last 50 years of her life, She felt this desolation, this void of where Christ was in her life. And there's a book out of her private writings called Come Be My Light. And I would really encourage you to take time and read that book. It's very interesting and encouraging. And it deals with this very issue. But all of that is another sermon for another day. What does the scripture teach us about seeking the Lord? How do we go about this business of seeking God in our daily lives? So let's look at some scriptures about that. I'm going to give you three things, all right? Because it's a sermon. You always do a three-point sermon, right? That's what I was taught. Only I never do a three-point sermon very often. Anyway. All right. Point number one. We are to seek him continually. Look at Psalm 105, verse 4. Psalm 105, verse 4. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, one of the shortest verses in all of Holy Scripture, but very profound, says, pray constantly. That's the entire verse, by the way. Pray constantly. Seek his presence continually. Well, the purpose of the Liturgy of the Hours is to teach us how to pray constantly. And if you want some instruction in that, I'd be glad to give that to you. I'd be glad to help you with that. But let me just ask you a couple of questions. When you wake up, every morning, when you wake up, what's the first thing you do? Coffee, yeah. Trip is holding up his coffee. Yeah. No, but what is the first thing? I hear from so many people that the first thing they do is they check their phone. Check the internet. Check what happened overnight. Check the scores, whatever it might be. You know? When we wake up, what should be the first thing we do? Thank you, Lord, for protecting me through the hours of this night. Lord, I commend this day to you and to your care. Giving God the praise. The other day, well, it was weeks ago now, but I went into a restaurant. Actually, it was when I was waiting for you guys for we were having lunch. And there was a family that was sitting in the table across the aisle from us. And it was a father, a mother, and a daughter. And as they finished their meal, the father turned to the daughter and said, would you like to thank God for this meal that we just had? I thought, wow. Now, I bet you they said a prayer before they began the meal, too. But just putting God into the everyday is just... How often do we take notice of him through the hours of the day and the things that we are doing throughout the day? And what about bedtime? You know, do you lie down and turn the television on and get the last minute news of the day? Or do you do compliment? Maybe just into your hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit, for you have redeemed me, O Lord, O God of truth. Guide us waking, O Lord, and guard us sleeping, that awake we may watch with Christ, and asleep we may rest in peace. You know, what a wonderful way to end the day, just commending the day and ourselves into the hands of God and asking for his protection through the hours of the night. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Okay, that was number one. Number two. Seek him with all your heart. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13 says, you will seek me and find me. That's good news. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So I was working on this. I was sitting in the gazebo and I asked the Lord, okay, Lord, We've been told we are to love you with all our heart. We're to seek you with all of our heart. What does that mean practically? How do we do that? And he said to me, I'm the bridegroom, you're the bride. We need to be courting. I thought, okay, that's pretty cool. And I started thinking about the days of my courting and with Miranda. Everybody got that? With Miranda. Okay. Anyway, we'd been engaged only a few months when I had to go to Dallas for clinical pastoral education. I was assigned to Presbyterian Hospital in Dallas. Miranda was still in Austin. That's 200 miles. We were newly engaged. That's not the best of all worlds, okay? You know, there was a longing and a desire to be together, and we were 200 miles apart. So we did a few things to stay in touch, as it were. But mind you, in those days, stamps for letters were 15 cents. So we wrote a lot of letters, like every day. But telephone calls, what's that?
It costs money to phone people.
Exactly, Isaac. But the telephone calls, in those days, there were no cell phones. And long distance, you paid for by the minute. And it was expensive. And so we agreed that we would only call each other once a week. Okay, so we would call each other once a week. Now, Southwest Airlines had some pretty good fares between Dallas and Austin. We were poor seminarians, but they did have some good fares. And so every other week, either I would fly to Austin, or if I was on call, she would fly to Dallas. And we would spend the weekend together. And I don't remember how much that cost, but, you know, it was okay. We did all right with that. So how does that relate? How can I relate my courting of Miranda to God's courting of me? And how do we keep that relationship alive, the spark is still there? Well, just as Miranda and I wrote daily letters to each other, you can write, as it were, a daily letter to God. You have a journal? You don't get one. Okay? Write in your journal. One of the best ways in the world to get inspiration is, I see Jackie's there with her journal right in front of her. Write in your journal. And it inspires. There are so many times when I'll be writing in my journal and I'll suddenly get this inspiration and I'll go, wow, you know, it's like God just speaking to me at that very moment. And we are communicating. We're having a conversation. It's wonderful. And it doesn't even cost you 15 cents for the stamp, okay? You can also phone home, okay? Prayer. But as you're praying, don't just give God your laundry list of wants and needs. Engage the Lord in your prayer. Take time. Make your petitions. Yes, that's all fine and good. And then stop and listen. Listen for that still, small voice that God speaks into your ear. Put your hearing aid back in so it works better. Anyway, no, but listen to him very clearly, as well as offering your prayers to him. It's a communication. And of course, you can always take a flight. You can get on Southwest Airlines? No. But you can go to the monastery. You can take a retreat to your backyard. You can take time in meditation, just sitting quietly and immersing yourself in the word, or doing Lectio Divina. Lectio Divina is very simple. It's simply take a line of scripture, read it, meditate on it, pray about it, and then sit quietly with God and let him wash over you with his presence. That's much more of a personal contact. So court the Lord. Court him. Have that kind of relationship with him. Seek the Lord with all your heart. Okay, thirdly, Jesus gives us his take on all this too when he says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Ask, seek, knock. Where is our focus? What consumes our attention? What are you paying attention to? What are you contacting God about? Or are you even paying any attention? Are you asking? Are you seeking? Are you knocking? How much time, let me ask this, how much time do you spend on social media every day? How much time do you spend on the internet every day? How much time do you spend in games, internet games or whatever? How much time do you spend doing things other than spiritually focused? How much time do you spend in prayer every day? Now, this is a tithing congregation. I commend you guys. We wouldn't be here if we didn't have a tithing congregation, honestly. It's just wonderful. And God honors that. But tithing is more than just money. We tithe our money, yes, our income. But we should also be about tithing our time. We also have tithing of talents, and I commend again this congregation. The talents, I see them being used all the time. However, time. How much time do you actually give to God on a daily basis? There are 24 hours in a day. A tithe of time per day would be 2 hours and 20 minutes. Do you spend 2 hours and 20 minutes with the Lord each day? How much time do you spend in social media? How much time do you spend with God? How much time do you spend on yourself? How much time do you spend on God? Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it shall be opened for you. So, if you're feeling like God might not be immediately present, guess who moved? God has promised to be with us always, even unto the end of the ages. So seek him. Seek him anew and afresh every day. Seek him continually. Seek him with all your heart. Seek him and you will find him. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened for you. Amen.